Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. Today, I believe I sound very professional because I have my audio engineering teacher recording for me, Greg Doster, who initially taught me how to use all the equipment, is sitting with us today and he is recording my podcast, and this makes my life much easier. Let us start our program and our day with a prayer from the Liturgy of the Hours of the Armenian Church. My soul is always in your hands, and I place my hope in your holy cross, O Heavenly King. May the multitude of your saints intercede on my behalf. You who are patient with everyone, do not neglect me who trusts in you, but keep me in peace with your precious and holy cross. How is your Advent season going? I asked this question last time, and I'm going to ask it again because this is the Advent season and we're getting closer every day to celebrate the birth and the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you all go to church last Sunday? What did you hear? The gospel reading was from St. Luke, and it was about having faith. Our church fathers want to remind us that faith is an essential element in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ is not requiring us to have a lot of faith. He said, if you have a little faith, as little as the mustard seed. I spoke about that in my homily this Sunday. Take a listen to some of the things that I had to say. Today, if I ask you a question, and if you were frank in answering the question would be, do you have faith? Do you believe in God? Most of us would say, yes, of course we believe in God. Some of us have their doubts, some have questions, but it would be a fair assumption to say that we all have faith in God. But then the follow-up question would be, what do you do with that faith? How do you live that faith? How can you help that your faith can be matured? How do you express or manifest your faith? Because it's easy to say, I believe in God. But if we are able to answer the follow-up question, how do you live your faith? Then actually we come to define what spirituality is. There are some thoughts out there that define spirituality almost as the anti-religion. Today people do not like the word religion, because they feel that is very restricted definition. They like the word spirituality. What is spirituality for you? How do you live your faith? How do you express your faith? I would like you to think about this, my friends. This is an existential question. I asked this question not too long ago to a group of friends, and I got very different answers. One of the answers was that spirituality for me is when I light a candle. That could be a form of spirituality, but trust me, after 2,000 years of Christianity, there's got to be something deeper about our faith. We ought to express our faith deeply as Christians. We ought to take what we believe in and make it into a living reality. A good place for us to be to look back and see how good heroes of faith lived their faith throughout the centuries. In our Orthodox tradition, Saint Athanasius defined spirituality as the reunion with God. He said God became human so that we also can become divine, so that we can be reunited with God.
If you read the words of my patron saint, Saint Grigor of Narek, you will hear almost the same thing. It's all about the mystical reunion with God. However, I am a practical person, and we ought to find practical ways of living our spirituality. There are ways out there. Simple forms of spirituality could be like imitating Jesus. You know, you've seen the WWJ things. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if someone was cursing at him? What would Jesus do if someone was bothering me? The things that we all encounter in our daily lives. Another way of spirituality would be to see the face of Jesus on every human being and to treat the people that we come to encounter with as if we were speaking or dealing with Jesus. My friends, the gospel reading today is very deep. We're getting close to celebrating Christmas. And our church fathers want us to ask these questions to ourselves. What is spirituality to me? I want you to think about this today and try to come up with a good definition. If your spirituality is all about lighting a candle, that will not take you too far away. But if your spirituality is all about having Jesus in your lives and doing and acting in the way that Jesus would act, then you will be in a better place. Then you would do what Jesus was telling us to do, to have a living faith, a faith that is growing, a faith that is better today than it was a year ago. I hope that as you read the gospel today, you will get a wake-up call to have spirituality and live the faith that Jesus brought to our lives.
It looks like the month of December is full of events that prepare us to celebrate Christmas. 2 weeks ago, we had the cookie decorating contest. This next Sunday, we're having our Saturday school program for Christmas. But the past Sunday, we had our traditional 6th annual Simply Christmas concert. And boy, it was a beautiful concert. We had Husher singing beautifully, accompanied by Peter Duskalis and Elizabeth Kalfayan. They performed really beautifully. And as a matter of fact, the background music that you're hearing now is I'm Dreaming of White Christmas, which was performed by Husher this past Sunday here in our sanctuary. Take a listen to the entire track.
Days be merry and bright. faces be white. May your days be merry and bright. And may all your Christmases be white.
Thank you.
Let's do the Bible reflection now. This is something that we do here every week in our podcast. One of our readings today is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting in you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet if any of you suffer as a Christian, do not consider it as a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us, what will the end for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. Peter brings to mind the words of Jesus: blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Christ will send his Spirit to strengthen those who are persecuted for their faith. This does not mean that all suffering is the result of good Christian conduct. Sometimes a person will grumble, "He's just picking on me because I'm a Christian," when it's obvious to everyone else that the person's own unpleasant behavior is the cause of his or her problems. It may take careful thought or wise counsel to determine the real cause of our suffering. We can be assured, however, that whenever we suffer because of our loyalty to Christ, He will be with us all the way. It is not shameful to suffer for being a Christian. When Peter and John and the other disciples were persecuted for preaching the good news, they rejoiced because such persecution was a mark of God's approval of their work. We should not seek out suffering and should not try to avoid it. Instead, keep on doing what is right, regardless of the suffering it might bring. In the month of December, the Armenian Church commemorates the Feast of Saint Stephen. Now, Saint Stephen is the first saint in the church, but also is the first martyr that comes to us from the Bible. When you look at the church history, you will see that the first martyr and the first saint of the church is actually a deacon. When the church observes the Feast of Saint Stephen, we actually observe the Feast of Deacons. And today I am fortunate to have with us a deacon in the Armenian church, Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian, who has been serving the church for so many years. Dr. Bayraktarian, welcome to St. Sarkis Church. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me here today.
My pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Do you listen to the podcast?
From day one.
I'm happy to hear that. So, as I said, this month we celebrate the Feast of Deacons. And you being a deacon in the Armenian church, I would like to ask you, what made you decide to be serving in the church in the capacity of deacon? Can you tell us about that?
Deaconship came to me as a natural consequence. It all started with my mother holding my hand and taking me to church. and putting the shabig on. I remember the shabigs, the sleeves were too long, and they had
How old were you?
Well, probably, you know, as a doctor, we know things start settling in our memories after age 7, probably before 7. I have the feeling that I was there were no shabigs for me in the church, so mm-hmm. they had to roll the sleeves. I remember staying with her at the beginning in the Tebratz Tas.
In the choir,
yes. And slowly and gradually being a stole bearer, and then uraragir, and a deacon. And then I was lucky enough to become an archdeacon as fit to probably my services.
That's right.
And that was one of my highlights of my life. You know, you have a few highlights in your life when you get accepted into college, when you get married, your first child, your medical degree, and one of those highlights is me becoming a deacon. That was something that I will never forget.
Sounds like being a deacon is something very dear to your heart.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, you described the fact how you went to church, and it was through your mom's encouragement that you started serving in the church, and eventually you became a deacon. But I am also assuming that when a person goes to church, they also experience some sort of a spiritual journey. Did you experience that journey in your life? What was spirituality like for you, being part of the church and becoming a deacon in the church?
I was lucky enough to having a mother who is a very spiritual person, who nourished my spirituality. She was my spiritual guide. We would speak about God. And I remember asking her one day this question, "Mom, how do you keep this faith? I mean, I really envy you. Could you teach me the secret about having this strong of a faith?" And she would say, "Oh, that's very easy, my son. All you have to do is repeat, repeat, and repeat. Go to church and repeat whatever is said and done in church, and you will keep your faith." So that was a big lesson for me. In order to become a person with strong faith, you have to repeat. You have to come to church. You have to continue repeating the same thing over and over.
But we live in a society where people claim to be very sophisticated. People claim that they don't have time to go to church. They don't have time to repeat things that they don't even understand. And I guess I'm asking this question to you because you're a professional who belongs to the medical community. There is this odd saying, which I've heard a number of times, saying, "Check your brains before you go to church." And I personally do not like that because, to me, faith and reason do reconcile. Can you tell me about your experience? Are you able to find a reconciliation between reason and faith and nourish spirituality, you being a doctor?
There is a scientific answer to your question, and there is an artistic answer to your question. But to put both together, it's like a train who needs to be on a line, two parallel lines. Without it, you cannot travel. You need the spiritual line and you need the scientific line. The two might not meet together, but there are intersections in life, in the train stations. Those lines will intersect. So you cannot say you cannot, or you should go only with one, and you drop one, you start with the other. You need both lines to go into journey in life. And I see this many, many times in my professional life. Recently, I lost a very close family member who was suffering terribly, emotionally, not wanting to die, not letting let go of life. We tried to comfort her with all kinds of medications, with all kinds of means that we could. The only thing that comforted her, real comfort, is when we had our bishop come and hold her hand and sing the sharagans. And you could see her face light up, her muscles relax. and she was at peace with herself. So yes, medicine was comforting her physically, but comforting the emotions was a very important part of that process. Even the brain, the scientific explanation, the brain has two parts, as we know, the left and the right. The right side is where our emotions are modulated, and that's where our artistic abilities and faith is located. And the left one, which is our scientific mind, where our calculations and our concrete thinkings are being processed there. So you need both sides of your brain to function in life properly.
From what you're saying, I also see that you're almost saying that life is a journey. Do you agree?
Oh, definitely. It's more important how you travel rather than where are you traveling to. Where are you traveling to always changes, especially as an Armenian. We were born in one country, we end up in a different country, and we don't know where we're headed next. Life has been a little bit tough for us as Armenians. But what it counts is we have our basis, which is the church, and we have our communities, which is our aim to keep and to maintain. That's what it counts. It counts the journey, what we're doing now, rather than where are we headed.
And when you gave the example of your family member who was suffering, you know, I was thinking that in life, nobody is immune from suffering. Suffering is part of life. And I find it very comforting, for me at least, to see that how faith can create a sense of comfort and serenity in the experience of the suffering person. Because I would like to hear your opinion. When you are suffering and when you are in pain, sometimes you don't need reason, you need hope. What's your take on that?
I call hope the morphine of the mind, the morphine of the emotions. Without hope, we will all suffer terrible pain, emotionally again, I'm not talking physically. Hope is the painkiller. Without hope, life will be full of suffering. Every time you instill hope in someone, you're improving that person's quality of life. What a better way of installing hope by introducing the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way it improved quality, even the last moments of your life.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Bayraktarian, you have been a part of St. Sarkis Church since early 90s, is that correct?
Yes, the church was still in construction when his blessed memory, our Catholicos, came to consecrate the church.
And you were serving the church from that time?
Yes, I was new actually in the country, and then Harsurp Anushavan, our bishop now, our vicar general, I contacted him and I said, I'm in the country here in the United States, I would like to join. And what a journey it was since then.
Tell me about that journey.
I will liken this to one of my children. When my firstborn came into life, that was a feeling that I will never forget. The same with the church. I remember it wasn't even painted. We didn't even have the decorations on the altar. And the first sermon that we had, it was the birth. I likened it to the birth of my first child, and I saw it grow, and I grew with the church, and it was a fantastic feeling. I believe the church is in its teenage years now, towards adulthood, almost adulthood. Those times of tribulations are behind us. So my church is still here and will still be here, and it's in capable hands. I can assure our community that.
Thank you. You mentioned that you grew with the church. I would like our listeners to learn from your experience. How can somebody grow in the church and with the church?
you start believing in miracles. And what a wonderful idea. What a wonderful thought. And what a wonderful feeling to believe in miracles. Miracles, you can't say, oh, let's have a miracle. Let's pray for God for some money. That's not miracle. Miracle is when you ask for wisdom. You ask for something that's really dear to your heart. Obviously, you have to work for that aim, but miracles do happen if you come to church and wholeheartedly ask. When I was younger, I admired people who were wise, who were intelligent. I always wanted to become one of them. Nowadays, that I'm older and more mature, I would say, I admire people who are kind. So kindness is very important for me at this stage in my life. And what a wonderful place to find kindness by coming to church. Almost everyone around you is kind, and almost everyone around you in church is willing to be kind. That's a wonderful place to be, and I recommend everyone tasting the kindness of people when they come to church.
Because the church is called to be mirroring the kingdom of God, and that's what we should strive to have here in our churches. When we started the interview, Dr. Bayraktarian, you mentioned about your mom and how she took your hands and she led you basically to church. Now, as a parent, tell me about your experience with your own children. How is that going for you?
Well, the word mea culpa comes in mind. We know how our society, the flow of our society, how rapid it is. It is very important to step back and think about what are your values, where are you coming from, and where are you going. Once you have the aim of achieving that, it's very easy to come up with a solution. In my case, I always brought my children to church, and I thank Bishop Anushavan at the time, the pastor of St. Sarkis, for allowing my girls, you know, I have three girls, for allowing them to go on the altar and to be momagals, the candle holders. And that was something that I believe my children will never forget. I don't know when they're going to have that experience again, but that was the beginning. And once they became teenagers, they were fortunate that where I live, there is the Armenian Saturday school, which they all attended from kindergarten, and they graduated seventh grade. That was the last grade. So in that regard, I fulfilled my obligations as an Armenian father to show their children that there is one side of their life that they should never forget. And I hope in the future I planted the seed and it will grow and they'll become faithful, grateful Armenians themselves.
What is your message to our listeners today? You came from far away to have this interview with me. And as a person who has served the church as a deacon, who has been at St. Sarkis Church since the day of the inception of this new church, and a person that I know whose heart is with St. Sarkis Church, what is your message to our listeners?
I will refer to St. Stephen, our patron saint of deacons. The reason why the apostles chose the deacons, I believe there were
seven
of them, and they chose Stephen as their proto-deacon, is to do charity work. Charity is the foundation of our church. Charity is the foundation of our religion, Christianity. And charity will make you a better person. What I would recommend that our parishioners and our churchgoers to experience charity, to know what charity means, because that's what ultimately we are all about in Christianity, to be charitable people.
I think that's a great message, because in itself, it has the fulfillment of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to love one another the way that He loves us. Dr. Bayraktarian, I would like to thank you very much for coming down to St. Sarkis Church today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Bernhard. God bless you.
This was a very good chat. And I'd like to pray for you, for your family, and especially for your mom, who is suffering. And I got to know her as a person who was devoted to church, who came here, and she was with us during the Holy Week 1 year. So I pray that she will find comfort as she goes through her suffering. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Der Heir.
Thank you.
God bless everyone.
During this Advent season, we are playing Armenian Christmas hymns, and today's hymn is called Zanjareli Lusomair, which means the Mother of Ineffable Light. This track comes to us from an album produced by Father Mesrop Benlian. The conductor is Bedros Papazian, featuring the Bulgarian National A Cappella Choir under the direction of Mr. Bedros Papazian. I hope you will enjoy listening to the Sharagan. I will be back hopefully next week with another episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I pray that the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.